Blog Talk Radio.
Done as a sin by kinfolks and by relatives. I mean, we've heard it all.
But tonight we're actually going to talk about sin, what it really is, and where we stand in the body of Christ with this. And Robert picked this topic, and he has a lot to say about this, and we all actually got a lot to say about this. And I want to say, how's it going, Robert? How are you doing tonight?
So I'm doing fabulous. Praise the Lord for his revelation of Jesus Christ in my life. I long to demonstrate what he is doing. Amen.
Amen. How's it going, Chris? How are you doing tonight?
Doing good, man. I'm excited to see what the Lord does with this show. So let's get on with it.
Amen.
It's going to be a good show. It's going to be an eye-opening experience. And this here is the real thing that really holds a lot of people back from walking the Christian walk. They're always scared that another Christian is going to be pointing fingers about sin, or, you know, somebody that's not really accepted Christ, people have been pointing at their sins from the day they was born and what all they've done. And that's really scared a lot of people away from the Christian walk, because they's always scared of that finger point. And they always see Christ with that finger, you know, pointing, "You have sinned," you know, that type of thing. And it's not really like that. The Lord has did a lot for you to bring you to the Father. And he wants you in the Father's bosom. He wants you to join him. He's not pointing at everything, but the thing to me is sin is actually pointing, showing you where you lack. And this here really hits a lot of people that's Pharisees or very religious people that think they have not sinned, or, you know, people that think they're perfect. And this here kicks down and shows you where you fall short when it comes between you and God. That's without Jesus Christ, where you fall short in between you and God, and where you need Jesus Christ. And one of the main things that I've always heard about sin, and what the Bible's taught me about sin, is sin really shows you, when you take advantage of God, where you really stand. You know, when it's kind of like, you know, we got back to Moses, like, you know, when Moses was taken across the promised land, and his people just started taking advantage of God. They was enjoying the food and partying and going on and wasn't really paying much attention to God. They just completely ignored him. And Moses was going up to the mountain talking to God about every day. Every time he'd come back down the mountain, they was doing something else crazy. And the Ten Commandments came out of that. And God just got tired of them taking advantage of him. And that's basically what they did. He was feeding them manna. He was bringing quail down for them. He was feeding them. He was taking care of every need that they was needing. He took care of every need. And that's what he can do for you. I mean, since Christ has came in and took all this, we're going to get more into this, but I'm just saying that this here, where Christ took a lot of this away from you, where you can be opened up, where you can have open heaven to you, and where you can enjoy the love of God and the salvation of God. And I'm going to stop right there because I'm going to spoil the show. So I'm going to hand this over to Robert. Go
well,
ahead.
Praise the,
jump right into
praise
it.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to open up with the scripture found in Romans chapter 5, verse 12. It says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Let's look at sin for what sin really is. Sin entered in by one man. It's not the many different things that he did wrong that was wrong. Adam didn't go out and commit adultery. Adam didn't go and murder somebody. Although throughout the history of mankind, because of his sin, many of those things have really happened. Adam sinned. It's a singular form of sin. Adam had a thought that he allowed to go through his mind, his soul. That thought was contrary to the thoughts of our Father. The thought that he was going to become something, or that he was going to be able to do something different than what he was created for, the thought that Father didn't have his best interest in mind, the thought that he could better himself. Wait a minute. Adam was living in perfection. He was already perfect. He was already Son of God. He was God in the earth. The moment Adam thought that he was not who he was created to be was when Adam sinned. Singular. To think contrary to what we are created to think, it is sin. Because Adam thought contrary, everyone on earth then was born into sin. All humanity, because of the one sin that Adam committed, all have sinned and come short of the glory. But, like you said, Stan, Jesus has fixed that problem. Jesus has restored us. He has redeemed us from the curse that Adam allowed in to the earth. Sickness, disease, poverty and lack, unforgiveness, murder, and all the things that are associated with that sin that Adam committed. Father created Adam and gave him the ability to think like he himself thinks. Having the mind that is in Christ Jesus, we are commanded to think like Jesus. If we think like Jesus, then we are going to glorify and honor our Father because we know that his thoughts were not evil. His thoughts were not incorrect. His thoughts glorify and honor the Father. And this was what Adam was created to do. But the moment he allowed himself to think contrary to Father, he severed the relationship that Father had established between he and his son. And that is what is missing from most sermons that I hear anyone preach, or when you hear someone talking, you hear them say things that just shows that they don't really understand what sin is. They want to point out every little action you do and say that action is going to keep you from God, but don't realize that every time you think contrary, you are sinning. That is where we are missing it. If we will go and deal with our thoughts and make sure that our thoughts line up with his thoughts. It says in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are greater than our ways. We have scripture and example written for us to be able to grow in understanding knowledge and understanding of how to have Father's mind, how to think like Father. Through Christ Jesus, we have been given the power to do just that. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We also know that Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the things that I do, you can do also." It also says in the book of 1 John, as he is, verse 17 of chapter 4, as he is, so are we in this present world. So Christ Jesus has given us the ability to take the thoughts that we have and make sure that they line up with Father's thoughts. And as they line up with Father's thoughts, then we won't be thinking evil. We won't be acting evil. Sin will be under control in our lives. And then we'll begin to see some enormous victories begin to take place in our lives because we're taking care of sin. Jesus took care of its authority over us, but it's our responsibility to focus on the life that is found in the Word of God and in the relationship that he has established for us to live with him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen, that's awesome.
God is good. God is good. We are commanded in First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22, it says to abstain for a second. Abstain. Stop. Abstain means to prohibit yourself. Would that be a nice way of saying it? Keep yourself from?
Sure.
Abstain from the appearance, okay? What I just said about sin, most people focus on the little things that you do. Oh, you smoke cigarettes, you're sinning. Oh, you went to a movie, you're sinning. Oh, you did this. Oh, you did that. They want to point out the little things. But I want to break something down for you right here in that scripture. The appearance of evil begins in your thought. You think evil, and then you do the evil that you think. As a man thinketh in his heart, so does he live. Proverbs 23:7 says, our thought lives is alive just like our spirit man is alive, our soulish man, which is our mind, will, and emotion, it is alive also. And in the realm of the soul, the thoughts govern your action. You only do what you think. Your most dominant thought drives and compels you. That's what you do. Whatever you think about, you do. And we don't tie those two together. The appearance, as you imagine it, as you image it, as you think upon. James even wrote in chapter 1, let no man say, verse 13, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Verse 14, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. When lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Brothers, he's saying to us right there, lust, which means to pressure, the pressures of this world, the pressures of the earth, the pressure of trying to do something in my own ability and exclude God, the pressure of trying to be my own source, I don't need God, the pressure of not trusting God, all that begins in our thought, and it's the original sin that Adam committed in the garden. When we are drawn away by what we think about, enticed by something contrary to the will of God for our lives, and then we just sit there and we think upon it. It's like a man and a woman coming together, and when they do, that seed meets up with the egg, and it conceives, and the next thing you know, you have a child forming in the womb, and the more time goes by, before long, you're giving birth to a baby. And that baby began in your thought. Sin begins in our thoughts.
Hey, Robert, what I was thinking about is how, like your heart and your mind is kind of like an arena, you know, and, like, it's almost like those little cartoons with Tom and Jerry and stuff where you got, like, an angel and a demon, and how much that really does relate to the arena of your heart and mind. I was just sitting here thinking about how it's so very true that our sin often, I mean, most of it starts in your mind. And and the way Jesus said, you know, that if you even lusted for a girl or whatever, then you've already committed adultery, you know, and that really makes you think, because when you realize that your man, the man that you are, spirit, soul, and body, that spirit, that man on the inside of you has, I mean, by thinking that those realities could actually be in the spirit, you know, and I mean, they, by going there in your heart and mind and stuff, it really can cause those things to manifest in the spiritual realm, and given over to it, it's like you're sooner or later, that stuff, it'll manifest in on the outside. But it,
that's
it
right.
gives a whole new value about, like, about why it is so important to guard your heart, you know, and
yeah.
guard your mind and guard your thinking. Because
mm-hmm.
out of it, it says, out of your heart will flow rivers of living
mm-hmm.
water. You know, and that,
mm-hmm.
that comes from disciplining yourself and
yeah.
counting those things worthy that are of the Lord. And, you know, and consecration and dedication and consecration,
yeah.
it's
mm-hmm.
like you do that stuff. You do that stuff not because it's sacrifice. It's like you do that stuff because you love Him. And the more
yeah.
you taste and see the glory of the Lord, the more that sacrifice, it often looks like sacrifice, but really you just get hungrier and hungrier, and the Lord changes your heart more and more as you grow
mm-hmm.
in Him, and you realize, hey, that's not a good thing. The Lord's not pleased with that. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, He doesn't hold it over your head or anything like that. He's freed
no.
you from it, and His blood
right.
has paid the price for that thing. But it's
mm-hmm.
the goodness of God that really draws you to Him because He loves you so much. And it's
yes.
like, and the more that you experience that goodness of God, the more you want to go after Him with everything
mm-hmm.
you are. You know, and just
Amen.
Really connect constantly on a constant, I mean, and live the fullness of the life of God that
yeah.
is in you.
yeah.
But
yeah.
anyway,
I'm
yeah. keep going on and on.
I'm gonna go ahead and jump to Romans 6, and it says, slaves to righteousness. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to one whom you obey rather than are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you are wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. I put
mm-hmm.
this in human terms because you are weak in your eternal selves, just as you used to offer parts of your body to slavery, to impurity, and to your ever-increasing wickedness. So how offer them in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness? When you were slaves to sin, were you free from the control of righteousness? What benefit did you reap at the time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God. The benefit
mm-hmm.
you reap leads holiness and results in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
So I just want to kick that right in because it kind of stuck out, and I've been hitting Romans this week anyway. So, so it's difference, you know. Are you when you're a slave to sin, and you know, like I was reading Romans this week talking about when people were stuck wholeheartedly in the law, and the law was kind of like a thing that actually breeded more sin. And the more you looked at it, the more you bred it. The more you looked at it, the more you bred it, and it was like a curse you was in. Every time you messed up, It smeared it right in your face, and you messed up again, then it would smear it right in your face, and it was like a never-ending battle you was in. And, you know, even, you know, Jesus Christ himself even added more to it. Like, when you thought about it, see, Jesus would walk amongst these Pharisees, and every time he walked amongst these Pharisees, they was wearing these big old robes and wearing these big old things around their neck, and they was being took to the finest houses to sit at the head of the table. Like, look at me, I'm a Pharaoh, I'm the great holy one. And but inside their minds, they was lusting. They was thinking poorly of people. They was judging people. And he saw that He said, you look like a white, shiny tombs with death inside. So he was seeing in their heart how dark their heart was, but they was like covering up their darkness with all these robes, and they was full of sin inside, but they was covering up with all these floofy things they was wearing. And it really didn't make no difference, because God didn't look just at what you was wearing. He looked straight to your heart and could tell exactly what you was. So it didn't really matter. I mean, no matter what you was doing, you was walking in sin, because there wasn't no way out of that thing. It was only one man that was set on this earth to take you out of that thing. That was Jesus Christ himself. He had to get on that cross for you to take that thing. But the thing of it is, it's just like, you know, Paul was talking to Romans. He was saying, because Christ has took everything. When we was baptized in the water, we was baptized into his death. Everything that we had was sucked down in that water. It was took to the tomb with him and died in the tomb with him. And then we was resurrected with him on that third day. The thing of it is, I mean, we probably don't think we was there, but spiritually we was there. We was raised up as a new man and a new creature in Jesus Christ. But the thing of it is that so many Christians was thinking that was all right. You know, hey, you know, my sin is dead and I can go do what I want to, and Jesus got it. It wasn't like that, what Paul was saying there. It wasn't like that. He said you was actually a slave to sin at that time. Now you're a slave to righteousness, to walking like Jesus, not trying to see what you've done, but trying to be more righteous than what you was. Try to look more like our Lord, not try to look more like what we was being smeared in our face. So the more you're trying to look more righteous, you're trying to be more right, not look, but be more righteousness, you're going to start reflecting that. You're going to start seeing that. Now, Jesus took a lot of all the bad stuff that you had on you. He took it with him on the cross. But our thing is to keep our minds reflecting on the Word, reflecting on Jesus, how he walked his walk. See, that's the reason he had to walk this thing out, because we had no way to know what this looked like.
Mm-hmm.
We had no way to know what this looked like. Everybody that we saw fell short.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All through the Bible, most of everybody fell short. They had no way to show a man and a woman how to walk this walk out. Only Christ could.
Mm-hmm.
So he cleaned the road for us and showed us the way to walk. But the thing of it is, Jesus has already took everything that you did. Everything that you ever did, he took it to the cross. And don't you forget about that.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing try to live your life reflecting him.
Mm-hmm.
Reflecting him.
Amen.
And the grace is, and the thing about that is, I had Brooke Potter, and he was really teaching about grace, and something I really never heard before, and it was kind of unique. He's talking about how grace will transform you, and you don't even have to do it. I mean, once you put your trust in Jesus Christ, and you let the grace start working on you. He said his friend was addicted to drugs. Okay, he gave himself to the Lord, got baptized, the whole nine yards, believed in grace, believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, but he relapsed in the drugs. He quit, but relapsed. His parents was scared, calling Pastor Brooks over and all that. He said, grace is going to take care of this. He said, I'm praying for him, but see what happens. I ain't going to run over and start screaming at him. He said, I trust Jesus' grace is going to take care of that drug addiction. He said, he might relapse now, but I'm telling you, the Lord is going to come down and take care of this. He just left it alone. He relapsed, and he went back in drug rehab, relapsed. He said, God is going to take care of this, okay? That guy relapsed one time, and then one day he woke up and didn't want another drug.
Mm.
He didn't want another drug. And that's what grace could do. I mean, grace is there to take all sins out. If you let it, you stay in the Word, and you let it. Because he did that for you. He took all of that from you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the amazing thing about that. And I'm going to hand it over to Ross. Go ahead, man.
I just want to say one thing
that's like stirring in my heart right now is that scripture that says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So if you're struggling with things and it's
demonically inspired, or, you know, there's just some kind of evil lurking that's like pushing on your mind. If you submit yourself to God and start, I mean, just pray, talk to him. You know, a lot of times we'll say pray and we'll make it like, oh, it's got to be, I mean, you know, you do want to honor and reverence God, but it, we'll make it out to be more. Sometimes we just need to be real and say, God, man, this thing is so hard to deal with. What is going on with me? Or, you know, just talk to him about it, because he answers you, man. And I mean, like, your heart, you'll know in your heart whether you're wrapping your head fully around it or not. And it's mm-hmm. like he'll give you that direction. Yeah. But go ahead, Robert. I didn't want to interrupt you too long. That was just sorry.
No, that's good, because it's right along the lines of what I was getting ready to say next. One of the first things we need to recognize is that throughout the Word of God, we are given plug after plug about what we're supposed to think upon. We are given scripture after scripture. It's a roadmap that leads us to life. It's the narrow way that leads to the abundant life found only in Christ Jesus. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, set your mind on things above, is what it says. Don't be thinking about these earthly things and giving your heart to these earthly things, worldly things. Set your mind on things above. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things, thinking on heavenly things, thinking on the things that pertain to our Father. Adam failed to think on the things that pertain to our Father. That brief moment that Adam failed to think on the things that pertain to our Father is what opened the door for the enemy to attack. The roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, stepped in through a brief moment of thinking contrary to the Lord. We're given script after script of things to think on that will cause our lives to line up with his. One right after the other, we are given script after script that points us in the right direction, and it will set our souls free. James chapter 1, verse 21, it says that the engrafted word of God will save your soul. Psalms chapter 19, verse 7 says that the law of the Lord, it is perfect, able to convert your soul. The word convert there means to restore it to its original condition. The condition that Father created the soul to be like before Adam fell. The law of the Lord. And I want to explain law to you guys. Law is not the Ten Commandments. Law is not the 600 plus laws that Moses handed down to the children of Israel. This is law. We have a king, and the king has the domain. And in his domain, when he speaks, his word is law in his domain. And when the king speaks, whatever he says, it cannot be changed. It is life abundant, because our king is the King of Kings. His word, it is life. Jesus said, my words, they are life. And they, you know, all throughout the word of God, we're told that the word of God, it is life. So if we take the word of God and we apply it to our mind, our soulless man, our mind, will, and emotion, if we apply the word of God to our minds the way Father desires we do, set your heart on things above, set your mind on things above, think on these things, having you the mind that is in Christ Jesus, then our lives are going to line up. Those things that are in us that are supposed to not be there will begin to go away, because you are focused on the abundant life that only comes from having a relationship with our Heavenly Father. throughout Jesus' ministry, he constantly had to deal with people who were in bondage to the wrong thinking. Over in Matthew chapter 9, Jesus said in verse 4, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think you evil in your heart? These people were thinking he was doing something wrong when he told a man that he was forgiven of his sin. And then when he perceived their thoughts, he told them, he said, let me show y'all something. The same power that it's going to take to forgive this man of his sin is the power that's going to heal him too. And he told the man to take up his bed and walk. Come on. You see what I mean? These guys who were living according to the law, or so it seemed, Jesus said their thoughts were evil. Evil thoughts are contrary to God's thoughts. But Jesus was demonstrating the mind of our Father, the heart of our Father, the true nature of our Father, which empowers us to live above the substandard life that was allowed into the earth by Adam the moment he thought contrary to his Father. Jesus has resurrected our minds from the dead, just like he did our spirits from the dead. And he has given us the source that will keep our minds, our hearts guarded from the garbage of the world, from the enemy who is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And this, brothers and sisters, I want you to hear this part. Because, see, the roaring lion, he is waiting on you to respond so that he knows that he can attack. The scripture I read at the beginning about the appearance of evil, listen to this closely. Abstain from the appearance of evil, okay? Evil thinking, wrong thinking. When you think incorrectly, it causes you to respond. You act out something. How many of you know that the FBI have this little method where they can read a person and say, oh, that person's lying, or, oh, I can tell what they're thinking? There's methods and ways to read a person's actions to tell what their thoughts were. This is the same tool that Satan, the roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, is using to keep God's people in the dark and in bondage. He's using our own reactions against us. Because we're thinking evil, then the process produces death. Sin then is birthed out of us, and the enemy is using our thoughts against us. Appearance of evil begins in your mind, in your thinking. And if you sit around thinking evil, then you're opening the door for the enemy to attack. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And he's waiting on you to respond to what's going on around you, to what you're allowing yourself to be influenced by. Your response tells him, yeah, I can attack that one. Their trust is not in God. He can tell by your response, and your response is a byproduct of your thought. That's why it's so important that we make ourselves seek ye first the kingdom. We make ourselves pursue righteousness. We make ourselves spend time in the presence of God so that we can learn how to walk this walk as sons of God by hearing the word of God over and over. Our faith, it becomes supercharged within us, and we start responding to the things that happen around us by faith, because it is the only thing that pleases our Father. It's written in Scripture that the just shall live by faith. So what we've got to do is to pursue with everything that is within us, spirit, soul, and body. Our minds control our brain. Not our brain, our mind.
Hey,
Go ahead.
This verse that says anything apart from faith is sin. So many times it's just a matter of where's your trust at? Are you doing this thing out of trust? Are you doing it? And you can step into faith at any time, any moment. You can shift from a carnal realm of thinking to stepping into the spirit. You know, and it's just a matter of saying, hey, God, I'm not so sure. You know, I mean, just a matter, a second, it's just a step. You know, and immediately the Lord can take over. And he says that you'll never be in a place that is too big for you to handle.
Amen.
You know, I mean, that
Amen.
He is absolutely able in any situation, no matter how deep. It says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Yeah.
You know, and that's really comforting to me. Yeah. I mean, it really is. And I've seen him. Over and over and over and over again, in the midst of me messing up, I mean, that was one of my prayers today was, Lord, save me from myself. Because, I mean, really, really, how can we even be good ministers unless the Lord direct us in our thinking and we're hearing from the Lord? How, unless we have a word of knowledge or some kind of direction in our ministering over people, then we can't even be effectively ministering to them, you know? So
that's
I'm just
right.
so grateful for that relationship and so grateful that he continues to speak to us. I mean, whether it be in our hearts or we're clearly hearing and seeing the things that he's showing us, Lord, I just pray that just increase on everybody at the sound of my voice. In Jesus' name, Lord, just release your glory and your intimacy is really all it's about is the intimacy. And I thank you, Lord, for just reigning on people's lives and helping them to develop a greater, stronger relationship in you. And, Lord, thank you, because it is such an honor to walk with you, and I appreciate it so much. The greatest honor we'll ever have is walking with Jesus, walking with our Creator.
Hallelujah.
I know one of the weirdest things that I got earlier was I was thinking about when I was at Walmart in Wilmington, North Carolina, and I was going to pray for a guy in the, I think it's where you do your taxes. You know, you get the disc for your computer and Walmart to get you to do your taxes. And we got a word of knowledge that somebody there is going to have back pain, massive back pain. They need prayer. So one of my buddies went and set me up there just waiting for this guy. We kept on walking by this aisle, and nobody came. And then sooner or later, I walked by there, and there was this guy, him and his son. His son was actually in the buggy. And I was like, bingo. And I went up to him. I said, excuse me, sir. The Lord really brought home with me that, you know, you had massive back problems. Do you have back problems? I'd like to ask you. And he said, like, yeah. He said, I've had back problems for years. I've had multiple surgeries. And he said, you know, my back hurts constantly. And, you know, I just take medication and stuff like that. It just don't really help. And I said, excuse me, sir. I said, would you mind if I pray for you? He's like, sure, go ahead. You know, I'm open to this. You know, just go ahead and pray for me. And this here was actually a word of knowledge from a friend of mine that was with us that this guy was going to be here. So I knew this was an open opportunity, and the Lord was going to do a lot of stuff here. So my friend kind of disappeared, and I was stuck here with the guy and the kid. So I was like, I'm going to go ahead and pray. I'm going to see what the Lord's going to do with this guy. So I went ahead and prayed for his back, and instantly it was fixed. And I was like, cool. Kind of blew my mind, but we had this one lady we prayed for a couple of times, and the pain finally went away, and the back straightened up. But this guy here was like an instant. As soon as I got done praying, I said, check it, see what happens. Because I said, when you check it, you're showing your faith, and it actually makes the prayer go into action for it to actually manifest. I said, go ahead. and check it. Check for the pain. Tell me where the pain is. And he checked around. He said, it's gone. I was like, thank you, Lord. I was like, amen. And it kind of blew my mind. Mm-hmm. But well, the Lord was only focusing on that while ago. He's focusing after I left there. The presence of God was following us. You could feel, you could feel the Spirit of God. I mean, just right after it was following us. And all me and the guy and his little boy was with us. The presence of God went over us. When we was walking through Walmart, the presence was right with us all the way through Walmart. It was awesome. I was like, this is cool, you know. And even outside of Walmart, the presence was following us. And the thing of it is I think this message is invite the presence of God amongst you. He's waiting for you to do something for him. There's a lot of you that's been waiting and waiting for the chance. Stop waiting and do it. Stop waiting and do it.
Mm-hmm.
And God will be there to back you up.
Mm-hmm.
God will be there to back you up. And I'm going to tell you something. You don't got to be in church to do this. He is with you no matter where you are. He's waiting for you to react. He's waiting for you to do something, and he will show up. And I know a lot of people saying, well, if I've got to pray for Christians for it to happen. Jesus prayed for non-Christians. Actually, no Christians existed when Jesus was walking earth. Only the 12 disciples, and they weren't really sure, you know. So there was non-Christians. And a lot of people that was believing in Jesus was people that was, you know, prostitutes, thieves, and all this stuff. He was praying for these people, and they was, you know, manifesting healing. God was showing up. I'm telling you, you show up ready to work for the kingdom. He will be there, and you'll see some things happen. Just be willing to work. Be really, really willing to work for the kingdom. He will be there. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling there's a person out there right now just scared. They're so scared to do something. I don't know if they went to a fire in love or they're going to do this or doing that. They're just scared to jump out of the box. But God is telling you to jump out like a jackrabbit out of that box and go and do something. He will do wonders in front of you. You will see God do things you've never seen before. Just get out of that box and just let him work.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, he will. But that was just the amazing thing that he... Go ahead.
I'm gonna say this that if you feel like you ain't got nothing, I want to tell this little quick story. Last night I was at this place called the Bowler Room in Greenville, North Carolina, and there was a guy there. And when I was talking to him, like, man, I just got in a flow, you know, and it was very prophetic to his situation, and the Lord just was ministering through me. Well, many times that can be prophetic. Under the unction of the Holy Spirit, just ministry, where he was like, man, I appreciate that, you know. But I was standing in the back, and he come out, and he said, man, I appreciate that word you gave me. It was right on point. And then I said, hold on, I'll give you another one. And see, when I said that, I hadn't got a word of knowledge, nothing like that. See, I had nothing. So unless the Lord came through, which I knew that he will, because what have I got to offer this guy anyway? It's like, but anyway, I gave him a word. In faith, I initiated that thing. And when I put my hand on him and just closed my eyes, the Lord gave me a word of knowledge. And he was sitting there, and there was a couple of his friends there. And after I, like, delivered that thing, I just told him what I saw, told him what I was hearing. And he was just like, whoa. And all of his friends were like, whoa. And but the cool thing about that is I didn't have anything to give God, you know, except for my empty self. And, you know, sometimes if we'll just, like, take the risk, in those little risks, you're led to greater risk. But your trust is developed in moving on those little risks like that. And the more you move on those little risks, the bigger risk will come, and you'll be more, your faith will be there to do it because you've seen God come through for you over and over and over again. And your faith and your confidence will rest in him and his ability instead of you and your ability and what you, oh, I'm going to do this or I'm going to miss that. Or you know what? He's bigger than your mistakes if you make a mistake. But if you just step out many a times, he will override you and your thinking, and he'll take over, and you'll be, like, more blessed than they were in the situation. But anyway, that's just
that.
Amen.
At this time, the Lord is showing me, telling me somebody has cancer. Somebody has cancer that's listening to this. And at this time, wherever the doctors have said your cancer was, I ask you to put your hand on that spot at this time. Just put your hand on that spot. Now, in Jesus' name, Father, I curse this cancer at the root and at the seed, and I command it to die. I take authority over this thing, and I command this thing to die. I command the cells in this cancer to die. I command the root to this thing to die. I command the seed that caused it. And if there's many seeds from this cancer, I curse every single one of them in this lady's stomach. I curse all of them. I command them to die in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I command this thing to die. I command a spirit of unworthiness to leave her. I curse it. I curse that thing at the roots and at the seed, and I bind this thing. I command a spirit of unworthiness to leave her now in Jesus' name. Father, I ask you to bring your presence upon this person. I ask you to bring peace to her heart, to her soul, to her mind. Bring wholeness to her body now in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I command the spirit of peace to just come upon her. Just fall and hit her now. Peace just hit her now. Lord, I ask you to go in through her body and just remove all the bad tissue in there, any tissue that's been, just remove it. Give her a whole new stomach. Wherever this is, I command all the intestines to be fully renewed and be repaired in Jesus' name. I command cancer, the spirit of cancer. I curse this thing at the root, and I find this spirit of cancer, and I command it to leave her and go back to the pits where it came from in Jesus' name. You leave her and you never return. You leave her and never return in Jesus' holy name. Jesus paid for it, paid for her, and you leave and you never return in Jesus' name. I command healing upon her body. I command healing upon her family. I command peace upon her family as well. I think there's something going on in the family as well over this, and I command peace over the family too as well. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you,
amen.
Jesus.
Hey, Stan, if I can take this time to read Mind Control. This is something to chew on. For everyone who's listening, it's titled Mind Control. I wrote this August the 4th, 2012. Our minds are a battlefield where the great battle for control in our lives is taking place. As it is written, as a man thinks, so does he live. Paul tells us to take control of your thoughts and cast down vain imaging. We gain the control by replacing those empty thoughts with our Father's thoughts, which is in heaven. By renewal of the mind, we are guaranteed victory. The new mind must be planted, rooted, and grounded in the truth of God's Word. Focus your thoughts continually on the great giver of life. Focus your thoughts on what He promised to the righteous. Meditate on spiritual things, which is life. And if you find yourself depressed, go back and examine what you've been thinking about and change it to thoughts of all that is in store for you in the kingdom. The one component needed to save our souls is the living Word of God. When our minds are engrafted with the Word, it's like you replace your old system of thinking for a completely new mind. We literally start to think like our Father God Almighty does, and that produces results of his will being done in earth as it is in heaven. Or as Jesus plainly states, the kingdom of God which is at hand. The reason most people miss out on victories is because they think it's something they will obtain only after they leave this physical realm of existence. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit wants you to receive the complete and free gift that is supplied in the finished work of our Lord Jesus at Calvary. Set your mind on things above and begin living out those thoughts, and you will gain control over the battlefield. Amen.
That is awesome.
Amen.
Amen. Awesome. We serve a mighty God, and he wants his people free. He wants none to perish and all to come to the knowledge of who they are in Christ Jesus. Father wants there to be no mystery to his creation. He wants us to know everything that there is to know about him. And the more you know about him, the more you know about yourself. He wants you healed. He wants you delivered. He wants you forgiven. He wants you to experience his glorious presence at all times. And you know what I told my group today as we were leaving the plant? They were clocking out, and I was telling them, you can experience heaven right now. Experience heaven and realize that you can experience heaven right now. The way you think will either produce heaven in your life or it's going to produce hell in your life right here on the earth. Let's practice heaven. It says in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30, verse 19, that we have the power to choose life or death, blessing or cursing. So let's choose life and blessing. Father has given us the power to choose. So let's choose what he wants. And then live in victory every day. Amen.
As you said, blessing, amen. Robert, the Lord asked me to say a blessing over you at this time.
Amen.
Father, I ask you to come upon Robert Hager. I ask the blessing of finances. I ask you to bless him in his finances, bless him in his life. Whatever blessing you have to bring upon him, to download to him, I ask for that blessing to come upon him now in Jesus' name. I command this blessing to be put into his life right now in Jesus' name.
Yes.
To bring that blessing upon him. Let him feel this presence at this time. Just let him feel this presence of this blessing that's come upon him. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for blessing his life. I thank you for blessing his family. I thank you in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Yes, sir. Amen. Thank you, Stan. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve.
Amen. At this time, I like to say a blessing for everybody. I don't know if people have been down on their luck, if they've really been struggling hard. I don't know whether they found a job or they've been working somewhere so long that they've not been fully hired, or I don't know what it is. It could be anything that they just need the extra kick to get everything going. Father, I ask you to put a blessing upon everybody in the audience that's listening to this, even whether it's on podcast or whatever. I ask you to bless their lives. Give them a blessing of a job, blessing of finances, blessing of just, you know, putting food on their table. Just bless them in that certain way that you know that they need this. Just bless them now in Jesus' name. Just pour a blessing upon them. I also ask you, Lord, to pour the new wine of the new covenant that Jesus brought into this world. Just pour that new wine upon them. Let them feel this, the new wine of the new covenant. I ask you just to pour this upon them. Let them feel this pouring through their soul, pouring through their mind. Just this new wine of the covenant. Just pour this through them. I ask this in Jesus' name. Just pour this to them. Let them just feel this. Feel something warm just coming through their body, just blessing them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Amen.
Hey, as you were praying, Stan, I just saw like this heart and this hole in it, and somebody listening to this, there's that feeling of incompleteness, of more, and knowing that the Lord has got more for your life, and I just say this right now, say, help Jesus, I need you, and I need you in my life. And I need you to take over in these situations. And I just encourage you to ask him about those things, trust him about those things, because ultimately that's what gets you over that sin is being in him and abiding in him. So just push into him in everything, no matter how dark, how deep, how dirty of a situation you're in, or even how good of a situation you're in, because many people are blessed and they think they're so good that God's just looking after them. And many times you can be blessed just being born into it, you know, but I mean, as far as a good life, but that doesn't mean that you don't have that emptiness. And I just saw that, and I just say, trust the Lord with all your heart and talk to him about everything, and he will meet your every situation.
Amen.
Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord.
If somebody ain't accepted Christ yet, I'm going to give this an opportunity where you can accept the Lord Jesus in your heart. I ask you to say this prayer along with me. I try to say this every show that we have on Wednesdays. I try to open this opportunity. Now, I'm even going to start opening this opportunity on Saturdays, too. But at this time, just say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I accept you as my Lord and Savior.
I accept you as my Lord and Savior.
Lord and Savior.
I ask you to come and live within my heart.
I ask you to come and live within my heart.
I repent of all the sins that I've ever done. I accept that you died on the cross for me.
I
accept that you rose on the third day for me.
I accept that you rose on the third day for me.
Lord, just take over my life. I give my life to you, Lord Jesus.
Lord, take over my life. I give my life to you, Lord Jesus.
If you just said this prayer, he had just came into your life. Father,
amen.
In Jesus' name, I ask you to bring your spirit upon him. Just bring your Holy Spirit upon this person. Stronger than ever. Just open their hearts. Just fill them with your presence, Lord. Just fill them with your presence. I ask it in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to
the Lord. Welcome to the family.
Amen.
Welcome.
Amen.
Welcome.
The angels are rejoicing, and so are we.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yes. Woo. Amen. That's right.
Amen.
That's right. Come on.
Amen.
Wow.
Awesome.
Well,
great and mighty is he.
Well, but before we get off here, got some announcements. I'd like to tell everybody, you know, we've got the Art Thomas event coming to Raleigh March the 14th. It's going to be on a Saturday. It's going to start at 9 p.m. For more info, just go to the Healing Life page or Facebook. Just message me. I will send more info to you. But it's going to be March the 14th. Art Thomas is going to come down to Raleigh. He's going to be teaching street ministry and talk about walking in the power of God and all the ins and outs and all that stuff, how to really do this. It is not hard, but it's good for somebody that's been very educated in it that help walk you through that. And it's always great to have somebody like it to teach you the ins and outs at times. And, I mean, you can do this on your own, but I always felt that, you know, somebody that's just done this a long time can help you out a little bit. And plus, he teaches the Word of God, and it's very awesome how he puts it and how he teaches. He's an awesome teacher in the Word of God, and I just say, you know, just show up. It's no cost. It's free to anybody that shows up. We're just trying to get the Word of God to other people and encourage others to go out and evangelize and talk to people about Jesus Christ and build the kingdom for the Lord. And that's what it's all about, is building that kingdom for the Lord. And I would like to ask everybody, please like the Healing Life page on Facebook. Let us know that you're listening. You can like Reverend Stan if you like. And I think it's Stan Shell on Facebook. And let me know that you're, how, whatever page you can get, you know, we can know what's going on with you. You know, you're listening to the show, or you can follow along with different shows that I post on there. And follow the Blog Talk Healing Life show, because when we do post another show, it will actually email you and let you know what's going on. And if you do see a show on Facebook that we are actually doing, share it. Because if you share this show, you can get the Word of God to many people and help our show out as well. And I guarantee you that the Lord will bless you when you share these shows, because you're doing His will. So thank you, everybody, for listening to His show. We really appreciate that. And Robert, you have anything you'd like to announce?
Yes, I'd like to announce here at His Reflection Church, we're having services on Sunday mornings at 10:30. We're located here in Boger City, Lincoln, North Carolina, at 1628 Lee Huss Lane. And so far, our services have been powerful, full of the presence of God. Much time is spent seeking God and just basking in the presence, the living God. So you're welcome, anybody, please, if you'd like to come. 10:30 Sunday mornings here at His Reflection Church. It's right here in our home at 1628 Lee Huss Lane.
Amen, amen. I've got somebody just called in. Just want to ask a few questions.
Okay.
How's it going, sir?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys doing this evening?
All right.
Doing good.
What's your name?
My name is Daniel, and I live down here in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Praise God, Daniel.
Well, welcome to the show, Daniel. Welcome to the show.
I appreciate it. Thank you, thank you. I stumbled upon you guys because I saw that you guys were on the topic of sin, and I just had just some observations and some questions that, if you don't mind me asking, before I go on, I'm unfamiliar with the terminology in Christianity, and I hope I don't offend you guys. I certainly don't have the intention of doing so. But I had a question about the act of being saved. I've really looked into this topic quite a bit, and I found lots of definitions, but I was wondering, if you don't mind me asking, what your definition of what being saved is.
Can I answer that? Look at us
okay.
Jumping on it.
Yeah.
All right. You go ahead, Chris. Go ahead. I was hot on the pit. Okay.
This is the way it happened for me, okay? Like, at a point where, like, I knew there was more to life, and I asked God, if you're real, then I need you to show me. You know, and the very next day, somebody started talking to me about Jesus, you know, and to me, it being saved is accepting God's Son, the sacrifice for your sin, because He knew that you could not be the righteousness of Christ, or you couldn't be like without sin. So Jesus became that sacrifice to bring you back to the Father. So he was the sacrifice, the Messiah, his Son that died in your place for all the evil doing on the world. Go ahead, Robert. I'll let you answer that. You're really strong in the Word.
Well, what salvation is to us is mankind had lost his way. The relationship between God and man had been severed by the first Son of God in the Garden of Eden. So Father promised in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, that he was going to send a seed born of a woman who was going to repair the breach that had been caused by the first Son of God. Sin entered in through the first Son of God, doing something that he was not created to do, doing something contrary to the will of God. And his sin, his action that was contrary to Father's will, it's what the Bible says caused all mankind to be born in sin. The seed of promise, which is Jesus Christ our Lord, he came into the earth, and his life, he was fathered by Abba himself. Abba fathered him. The Word of God impregnated Mary, and the Word became flesh, and it dwelt among us. The Word of God became flesh, and that very Word of God that became flesh also became the Lamb of God. The Jewish people were sacrificing a lamb at Passover that was supposed to take away the sin for a year, but it was something that they had to do every year. Well, Jesus was the Passover lamb that once he did what he did for all humanity, sin had been dealt with in him. The judgment, the penalty, and the wrath of sin was all placed on Jesus, and he set us free from the bondage of sin that Adam allowed into the earth in the beginning when he fell. Now, we must accept Jesus as Lord. We accept that he is the Lamb of God, that he is the Son of God sent to the earth in my stead to die. And in my stead, we are now righteous because he who knew no sin became sin for us. Father now sees all who accept him as Lord as righteous because his sacrifice was good once and for all, saving all who receive him. There is only one thing that man will be cursed forever to the pit of hell, and that's to reject the gift of God the Father, Jesus Christ, his Son. He made it plain and he made it simple. We cannot save ourselves because we were slaves to sin. Jesus was born into the earth, and he knew no sin. So his sacrifice was satisfactory, pleasing the Father for all humanity. It says in the book of 1 John chapter 2 that Jesus is the propitiation, which means the mercy seat or the ultimate sacrifice for the sins, not only of those who accept him, but for the entire world. His sacrifice was so good that Father is satisfied with it, and the judgment and penalty for sin is no longer he's going to be enraged and take his anger out on us because he's taking it out on Jesus. The beating, the whipping, the bruising, the chastisement, the guilt, the shame, the condemnation, everything has been taken care of by Christ Jesus. You can now receive him and receive a brand new spirit, the spirit that Father intended for his sons to have from the beginning. You receive through accepting Christ Jesus. And once you receive that new spirit, you then have the opportunity to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2, the disciples, 120 people gathered together in an upper room in Jerusalem, received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the same Holy Spirit that Jesus received when he came up out of the water of baptism, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. He was baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire, which is the Father's presence. He cleaned us up, making our houses clean so that the Holy Spirit could live and dwell in us forever. And you can read that in the book of John, chapter 14. It's explained by Jesus himself that he is preparing us to be able to house the Holy Spirit. So salvation is forgiveness for your sin. It is healing. It is deliverance. And it is prosperity. It's all a package that restores us to the original condition that Father made man in the beginning. You accepting
Amen.
Jesus gives you the power to walk as a son of God once again. Amen?
That, I mean, that was absolutely beautifully said. And as you had said, you know, as accepting, you know, the Holy Spirit into oneself
yeah.
as to basically give new life to a person, per se.
Yeah.
As at the occurrence of this point, is it possible for said person that has received this Holy Ghost, is it still possible for this person to still be considered a sinner, seeing as though he has fully accepted the Holy Ghost?
Absolutely.
No.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We've all sinned, and we sin daily, constantly.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, but we get delivered from that sin consciousness by connecting and disciplining ourselves in the Lord Jesus Christ in him. Because, see, what happens when you're saved, the difference with Christianity and everything else, every other religion, is Christianity is life, and the impartation of the divine nature of God comes in you when you're born again. And when you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, as Romans 10:9-10 say, that life comes within you. And that impartation, which is a portion of the Holy Spirit, comes in you then, and you're eternal. You become an eternal being on the inside, and that
mm-hmm.
and you'll live forever and ever. And the thing about it is, as you grow in him, you'll begin to know him more and more, and you'll start experiencing things like for instance, I've seen things happen 5 hours before they happened when I was talking to him before. And then I knew to walk it out because of John 5 says, those things that I see my Father doing, I also do. And I had asked the Lord about that, and, you know, he showed me some stuff. So it's like he really confirms himself in his word and in that stuff. And I just wanted to share that with you real quick.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Now, sir, have you ever been baptized in the Holy Spirit?
Yes, I have. It was actually it was from a very young age. I had a very devout Christian aunt that just brought me along to services and so on, and I got very curious about it when I was about, I believe I was 7, and I mm-hmm. asked her if she would go about the process of saving me, so to speak. So I did undergo that process at about the age of 7. But, you know, at an intellectual age, you know, I wasn't able to, you know, correlate and possibly really understand it firmly at that age.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Mm.
Sir, would you like me to go through the prayer of the baptism of the Holy Spirit? That's when he pours upon you. Would you like that?
Well, I actually, it would be wonderful after I ask this last question, and
I
truly do not mean to offend by any means. I think it just has to do with my ignorance of this subject. But just mentioning about the surrender, basically, during the act of being saved, you know, what appears to be being surrendered would what some people might consider one's ego, so to speak, you know, who we've really convinced ourselves to be. You know, we think that we need to commit adultery or look at pornography. You know, just the sins stack up real quick, and we've almost labeled ourselves as these actions. And when one is saved, they find the Word of God, and they see that they can be rid of these sins by completely surrendering and accepting God into their lives. So if I'm not mistaken, it almost sounds that when you are saved, you are completely letting go of who it is you believe yourself to be as a sinner, you know, your previous life, and completely accepting the Holy Ghost. And it would just seem as though that when that is done, if it is completely and 100% surrendered to God, that there would be nothing left really for there to sin. I may just be ignorant in this, but...
If you will let me enter in there. Okay, here's what's taking place. The rebirth is of your spirit. It is not your soul, and it is not your physical being. Okay?
Sure.
And I've used this example on a number of our broadcasts. Do you own a computer?
Yes, I do.
Okay. You have a hard drive, correct?
Certainly.
If you turn it off and then you turn it back on, is it going to have new information on the hard drive or the same information that was on it when you turned it off?
I would presume it would have the same information.
The same information. So if you want some new information on it, what do you do?
I mean, you could certainly wipe that hard drive and start fresh.
That's what the Word of God does to your soul.
Absolutely.
After you make the commitment to Jesus to allow Him to be Lord of your life, your spirit man, the real you, who you really are is spirit, and you have a soul and you live in a body. The part of you that is rebirthed, that is perfected in the image of Christ Himself, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 says, you are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. It's your spirit that becomes a brand new creature, not your soul, which is your mind, will, and emotion, and not your body. James chapter 1, verse 21 says that the Word of God, the engrafted Word of God, will save your soul, your mind, will, and emotions, the part of you, the thought life, and the how that you socially interact with people and live your life through your soul, okay? Your body, your physical body, follows whoever you give lead to. If you are still struggling with issues from your past, it's because you've not applied the Word of God to wipe clean the hard drive of your mind. The Word of God will change your mind so that you can live to glorify Him through your body. Your spirit man is perfected. From here through eternity, it looks identical to Christ Jesus Himself. He is your head. You are a part of His body, and you're already seated in heavenly places with Him, hid in Christ. So you've got to get to the place where you see yourself already there. You're already there. Father sees you already there. He is no longer holding sin against us because the sacrifice of Jesus was that good. He does not impute sin to us. He doesn't hold it to our credit. Just before the law was given, sin was not imputed. After the law, Christ came, and sin is no longer imputed. Father's not worried about sin. He's dealt with it. So what we have to do is we have to engulf ourselves in the Word of God. Faith, Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith cometh by hearing the Word of God. And it will cause your soul to be rebirthed as you walk each day out, learning how to deny self and to live to fulfill Abba's desires ahead of your own. It's a part of the beautiful walk that we get to walk out once we've accepted Christ and we believe in our hearts that He's transformed us in our spirit. Your mind becomes supercharged the more you hunger and thirst for righteousness. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, hunger and thirst for righteousness, and you will be filled, is what Jesus said. The revelation will come to you. Amen?
Amen. Did I help you, sir?
Answer?
I do believe you did have the answer, and I think you said it somewhere along the lines of basically having the spirit being very much so connected with your body to the point where they are working in correlation. The misunderstanding that I may be seeming to have is this once one has fully accepted God and this just this vastly perfect, I couldn't even give a close definition to you, but this perfect soul that we do accept into ourselves and to carry as our own for eternity, if we do get this perfection and just this gloriousness of the soul aligned with our body, it seems rather difficult to sin from this point.
Yes.
You know, not
hey.
Please go ahead.
Can I say something? Like, it's the goodness of God that draws us to repentance, you know, and it's a process of the transformation of the mind, you know, and that transformation comes through really, if I could say that, like, you take time just to get before Him, and I kind of think about a butter and a potato. Like, I'll sometimes, like, get before the Lord and just almost be holding my heart up before Him. Sometimes absolutely silent, just kind of talking to Him in my mind, because I know that He's very present everywhere all the time. He's proved that to me several times over in very manifested ways, I would say. And like, the more you get in His presence and the more you spend time talking to Him and reading His word, that transformation comes in such a major way. But His presence really, you can sense good and evil. And like, when you've sinned or you've stolen something, you sense that evil in your heart that it's wrong, you know? And that's, mm-hmm. I mean, that's the presence of good and evil in this world, you know? And it says every good and perfect gift is from the Father. And the more we receive, like, His goodness, we're able to just align ourselves with it and walk with Him. And He kind of shapes you into that. But it's like you got to want it. And I think about mm-hmm. Romans 12, where it talks about laying yourself down, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to mm-hmm. the Lord. I don't want to keep battling on, but that was on my heart. The goodness of God.
That's awesome. Awesome. We basically got 2 minutes left. Basically, what they're saying is that, you know, they say He saved your spirit when you accepted Christ. He saved your spirit. Now, your soul and your mind, the Bible helps transform that and to walk in Christ.
Amen.
And it's very important. Now your soul's already been saved. It's already got it set on its way to the Father. That's what's already set through Jesus Christ. But it's up to you to transform your mind.
Yes.
And all that. And he has just left. But anyway, I like to say I want to thank everybody for listening to the show. God bless every one of y'all. And I ask the Lord to bless y'all through this week. Bring your blessings upon these people. I ask you to just bless the rest of this week. Let them have a great weekend. I'm going to tell y'all, we're going to have prosthetic painter Rhonda Holland. She's going to be on this Saturday. She has painted a beautiful painting for me and my family, and it's wonderful. And she's going to talk about how the Lord started working through her to paint these beautiful paintings for people. And just showing what the Lord's doing in their lives. It's going to be an awesome show. I really ask y'all just to tune in this Saturday at 9:30. It's going to be an awesome show, and she's going to bless everybody with her testimony and with what the Lord's doing through her. It's going to be a blessed show, I guess, totally. Man. I'd like to say God bless every one of y'all, and thank y'all for listening to us, and we'll see y'all Saturday.
Good night.
He's awakening the hope in me by calling forth my destiny. He's breathing life into my soul. I will thirst for Him.
Lord.
and hear.